This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Burglaries in the Valley, organized ring, according to the LAPD. President's got the post office in his sights, but first out to Malibu, people are saying rebuilding is not going to be easy.
You know, there's a lot of frustration out there as this recovery process and rebuilding process continues. You know, where to put the debris and how do we get to the rebuilding process? How quickly is it going to move? Yeah, a lot of people showed up at this Malibu Planning Commission meeting last night to vent, and our John Baird has more live this morning.
Yeah, a lot of people are frustrated. They don't want to wait. People who lost homes don't want to wait years to get their homes approved and rebuilt. They made that clear at the meeting last night that, by the way, the meeting went on for like more than 5 hours. One man said he had heard in other areas that homes could be rebuilt in as little as 8 to 12 months, yet he says he was told maybe 30 months here in Malibu.
Why is it going to take Malibu 30 months where everywhere else in L.A. it takes 15 months? Why? Can they explain that and can they tell us that? It's beyond not okay. That's it.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, he got some applause there. There were also some victims of the Woolsey fire that took place in 2018. They were there, and they said they haven't even been able to start the rebuilding process, and it's already been 6 years since the fire. Now, the commission did approve some amendments meant to speed up the process of rebuilding. This all goes now to the Malibu City Council. They're going to take it up on March 4th.
All right, John, thanks. LAFD has been saying they need more money, at least a 7% increase in the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. LA needs to invest in 62 fire stations across the city, double the number of firefighters that are employed. There was a hearing, Public Safety Committee. Council members Curran Price, Tracy Park, had some trouble getting clear answers from a battalion chief about problems connected to what happened in the Palisades.
As we try to, you know, make up for lost trucks or pumps that are out of service now, what percentage of them can be repaired, you know, with some minor attention, or is it major attention? I mean, are they just lost?
For service life for fire apparatus, we exceed it. And that's due to the incredible maintenance that our firefighters do on a daily basis, as well as our mechanics and supply and maintenance.
Yeah, so reports that there are, you know, dozens and dozens of equipment on the sidelines unusable. That's not true, you're saying? Or
no, the only comment I'm making now is that those reports seem fantastic in their numbers, and so I would disagree with the sentiment that dozens and dozens.
Do you happen to know what the response time on January 7th was from the first 911 call until the first resource got to the fire?
That's a great question that's been the subject of much contention, as you know. I do not have that specific number, but I know that the widely reported 20-minute response time is not accurate.
Do you know if it was two digits?
I don't. No, I do not.
Several council members showing support for an investment, taking on millions of dollars in new debt. One proposal, maybe a massive bond that would result in higher taxes for those of us who live in L.A.
Yeah, every once in a while, there is a number that comes out, right? How much is it going to cost to pay for all this? There's a new one. Both of the fires, the Palisades and the Eaton, some other experts are estimating total losses could top $30 billion. The L.A. Times reports that half of the properties in the Palisades, nearly half in Altadena, were destroyed. That includes 300 commercial buildings, schools, and hospitals. Among the losses, 79 homes that were worth over $10 million and more than 2,000 homes in Altadena that were valued at $1.5 million.
Still seeing a lot of graffiti around L.A. Technically, reports for cleanup have gone down just a little. Crosstown with a new look at this, saying overall in 2024, 317,000 reports. That's the lowest count since 2018, but you know, still more than 300,000. Data from 311. City says they aim to get to the tags within 72 hours, but they say frequently, whatever frequently means, they take care of them within a day. Boyle Heights sees the most calls, then downtown, then Westlake.
LAPD is warning about burglaries again in the valley. This time it's the West Valley. So we're talking Canoga Park, West Hills, Chatsworth, Winnetka, Woodland Hills.
We believe that this is coordinated crews. We make that determination based upon what we consider the MO, what time of day that they're hitting, the fact that they're usually coming in multiple cars and there's multiple suspects.
That is LAPD Lieutenant Doug Humphrey. He was talking to KCAL News. So what are they going after?
Small items of high value and significance, something that they could trade sometimes on the open markets, like a Facebook marketplace.
He says a lot of the burglars are getting through a back door of the home. So one of the things he's suggesting is maybe get a camera back there.
Let's talk about the post office. There was this report saying it's the new target for the Trump White House, so they want to take it over, roll it into another department. When they got asked about this, they said, no, of course not. We're not thinking of doing that. So I guess we'll see. But what would this mean? With us is Deadline political editor Ted Johnson.
Hi, Ted. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. Thanks for having me.
So I like the Washington Post was out with this, and I like the words that they're using, that there is an effort to dissolve the leadership of the Postal Service and absorb the agency into the Trump administration. You know, that language. Put it all under the Commerce Department. But is that even legal?
Well, there's a big question of whether it's legal. This ties into what President Trump has been doing since he got into office. He's been trying to take control of these independent agencies, whether it's the FCC or the FTC. The Postal Service, though, is kind of an entity on its own, just based on statute. Going back 50 plus years, there was a law passed that essentially was set up to try to separate the Postal Service from any type of political influence. So that is why there seems to be this big legal barrier to Trump actually taking that action and putting it under his control.
Some people love to hate on the Postal Service. They say it's slow. They say they lose all my stuff. I guess I'm asking, why implode it rather than come up with a way to make it better? Or can we just never agree on a way to make it better?
Well, this is the Postal Service is something that Trump has for some time said should be privatized. He's kind of mused about this in the same way that FedEx and UPS are private entities. The problem with that is that, and you're already seeing some lawmakers raise this issue, is that the Postal Service doesn't do exactly what FedEx does. They carry the mail to the last mile. And if it is privatized, Democrats are saying you're going to see higher prices and perhaps not even service to some of these outlying rural communities where mail delivery is guaranteed.
Let's look at the big picture on this, because I hear a lot from people who say, you know, what's happening? He's doing this. He's doing that. He's moving so quickly, trying to do so many
flood
things.
The zone.
Right. But it's all getting caught up in legal fights. I mean, how much of this is actually going to happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what's happening now is you're starting to see, quote unquote, more resistance. Obviously, the legal challenges have existed for quite a bit, but you are starting to see more protests. Elon Musk, who is carrying out a lot of this, his popularity it has sunk in recent weeks. And I would expect, we saw some of this in Georgia last night, you're going to see more people showing up at some of these town hall with lawmakers. And as we move into the second phase of Trump's administration, where he has to pass some major legislation, Musk and these job cuts could become more of a liability, especially as lawmakers kind of look at the horizon and say, hey, I may actually pay a political price for this.
Yeah, if you're going home to your district and you're getting booed suddenly, it's different. Deadline political editor Ted Johnson, thanks.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ted brought up Elon Musk. We're going to talk about Musk and Doge as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Yeah, these employees who've been losing their jobs. CBS's Weisha Zhang talking to one of the thousands who've been cut in the administration reductions.
Katie Sandlin thought she landed her dream job at the National Institutes of Health as an educator.
People like me, where I'm from, rural Alabama, like these kind of jobs don't happen to people like me.
So she spent her life savings and maxed out her credit cards to move from Alabama to just outside Washington, D.C. But after a few weeks on the job, before she could even unpack, Sandlin received a termination letter that claimed your performance has not been adequate to justify further employment at the agency.
I've just always thought that hard work pays off.
Elon Musk waved a power tool on stage when he was talking at the Conservative Political Action Conference just outside of D.C.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy.
Elon Musk whipped out a chainsaw at a conservative conference Thursday as a federal judge said his and President Donald Trump's efforts to hack through the federal workforce can proceed. Earlier, the president praised Doge's efforts at a Black History Month event.
Elon Musk has done an amazing job.
CBS News has found that more than 12,000 federal jobs have been eliminated or are expected to be terminated.
That is CBS News correspondent Jared Hill.
The Republican-controlled Senate adopted a budget blueprint early this morning. It was an all-nighter. Democrats doing the Votorama. They were pitching a whole bunch of amendments that they knew wouldn't get through. Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts had one of them.
My amendment says anyone who earns more than $10 million a year won't get a tax cut in the new Republican budget. And I want to know if Republicans will agree to that. I urge everyone, Democrat or Republican, to say yes.
It didn't go. Floor debate on the House is going to begin next week. House plan calls for a package that includes more border enforcement, expanding energy production, and renewing the expiring 2017 Trump tax cuts.
The president called Ukraine's leader a dictator and blamed Ukraine for starting the war with Russia. That's what President Trump said earlier this week. Politico's Europe correspondent Sarah Wheaton says European leaders are starting to realize the U.S. cannot be counted on as an ally against the president of Russia.
Just this morning, we heard a speech from Friedrich Merz in Germany, who's expected to become the chancellor there after Sunday's election in Germany, basically saying that we probably simply can't count on the U.S. nuclear umbrella anymore. And so he's asking Paris and London to back up Germany with their nuclear weapons instead of having to rely on the U.S.
The leaders of France and Britain expected to meet with President Trump at the White House next week.
Luigi Mangione in court later today, accused, of course, of killing the UnitedHealthcare CEO. Former federal prosecutor and law professor Lori Levinson says he's got that huge following still.
The main hearing right now will be in New York. And the question is, what will happen next? Mangione has a huge following. He set up his own webpage. He's raised almost $500,000 for his defense.
He pleaded not guilty to the state charges and no plea yet on the federal charges. Could face the death penalty if convicted.
The body of an Israeli hostage, Shiri Bibas, was not returned to Israel yesterday, along with the bodies of her two young sons. And instead, the body of a woman from Gaza was found in the casket.
This is a very complicated situation. What is clear is that the anger, the emotions in Israel over this have risen to a new height. And one has to wonder what the effect will be on the ceasefire deal.
The Israeli prime minister said Hamas will pay. That was the BBC's Sebastian Usher in Jerusalem.
There's about 30 hostages still held captive in Gaza who would be released in this second phase. Younger men and soldiers. Emily Valdez talking with one father who knows his son is still alive in captivity.
Hamas terrorists kidnapped 19-year-old Nimrod Cohen. He's an IDF soldier from his tank on October 7th.
He's a soldier. He will be one of the last.
I spoke with his father, Yehuda Cohen, who has been to numerous Western countries, including America, trying to bring attention to the fact that hostages are still alive in Gaza.
Since hostages are being released, at least from three hostages, we had word either directly saying one of them that he was with Nimrod from December till May, from December 23 till May 24. They were together. Had a lot of talks. He even mentioned things that are related to our family.
Yehuda Cohen believes Netanyahu does not want the hostages released because he wants to extend the war.
Yeah, we're always afraid of that. Netanyahu is always aiming for his next exit point, staying in power and avoiding his criminal sentence. Another reason is we are fighting. We have no time for investigation. Or we are fighting. It's not the right time for re-election and stuff like this.
Cohen is crediting President Trump for getting the hostage deal done.
And the mayor, Mayor Bass, and what she's been saying about what she knew, what she didn't about the danger ahead of the Palisades fire. There's been a number of interviews lately. Most recent line to the LA Times, the fire chief should have warned her about the risk, you know, directly. But Bass's X account had posted about the windstorm as we were going into it. So, yeah, with us now, Dan Schnur, political communications expert and USC professor.
Hey, Dan, good morning.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So, rolling back a little bit, when the fires first happened and all the officials would get together for the briefings, the mayor presented it as one voice. That was the phrase that was used. And everybody sort of, you know, joined arms. And little by little, as the criticism has ramped up, particularly against the mayor, they have, you know, broken apart. The mayor reportedly has had issues with County Supervisor Lindsay Horvath, repeatedly sort of had issues, you know, behind the scenes and in front of the cameras with the chief of the L.A. Fire Department. What is going on with the mayor now, in your opinion? Is this, you know, sort of an effort to rebrand, or is there truth in this?
Well, let's give Karen Bass the benefit of the doubt, and let's assume that she is correct and that the fire chief and the fire department did not offer an official notification to her. If that's true, and let's just assume that it is for the moment, that still doesn't excuse her conduct and placing the blame in that direction. As you correctly noted, the fire danger was widely reported by the National Weather Service and by any number of other credible sources. And so even if Beth is correct that she should have also offered a more direct warning, it looks very, very bad for Karen Bass. And it's yet another self-imposed political blow that she suffered since the onset of the wildfires.
And people understand that. I mean, right? How do you think they receive these explanations? Because paraphrasing, but first, okay, I shouldn't have gone to Ghana, but I didn't know it was going to be this bad. Then now the chief should have told me. I mean, this isn't Modoc County. This is L.A. There's so many people that could have gotten the info passed along. If really she didn't know, someone should have said something. There's a million people in the in-between.
That's exactly right. And again, for the sake of this discussion, let's give the mayor the benefit of the doubt. And I'll just talk about the politics of it, which is that, number one, it looks very, very bad for her to be blaming other people for her decision to leave the country, particularly after so many weeks now since her return. But second, it's not going to ring true with Angelenos who read the public weather reports about the impending danger. If we'd had this conversation, guys, at the very beginning of January, I would have told you that Karen Bass looked like a prohibitive favorite for re-election. At this point, her chances for another term are looking worse and worse, and yesterday's news makes them even more difficult and more challenging.
You know, another thing about this, and this is true of a lot of elected leaders lately, they pick and choose who they talk to. They don't want to be caught in a live interview that might, you know, go in a direction they don't like. Mayor Bass has been particularly difficult to get in touch with. And even now, she's only picking certain outlets. Does that help or hurt at this point?
At this point, it appears that the mayor is really flailing. I mean, Karen Bass has built an exemplary career, both in the California State Legislature and as a member of Congress, primarily because of her ability to negotiate difficult policy topics with her fellow members. She's never been called into an executive position before, and she's never been called on to publicly communicate under difficult circumstances to frighten constituents. And at least so far, that's not a challenge she's meeting particularly well.
Dan Schnur, political comms expert and USC professor. Again, we here at KNX News have reached out to the mayor a number of times to request interviews.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.